Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. For the next few minutes, this is a personal invitation for you to stick with it. Listen up, pay attention. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education. And we do not use any manipulation. We're not trying to con you into doing anything. This show is not going to ask you for any money. We're not going to sell you anything. We're not going to ask you to join up, and we're not going to ask you to fess it up. What we are going to ask you to do is listen up. Listen to me, Rick Hughes, the host, as I clearly and accurately present the details involved around the plan of God for your life. Hopefully, I can verify and identify that plan for you, and you, if you choose, you can orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. I can assure you my job is to get it accurate, and I take it very seriously. So we're not here playing games. We're here to give you life-saving information. Information that will direct your course of your life so that you won't make bad decisions. Remember the motto that we have, and we even have a bumper sticker that says it. If you'd like one, write to us. We'll send it free of charge. Bad decisions limit future options. That's the bumper sticker. Bad decisions limit future options. And if you make enough bad decisions, well, then you don't have any options left, do you? You know, we have a lot of new stations that are coming on the air. Tallahassee, Panama City, Denver. Hopefully, we're going to be up around Grand Rapids, Michigan, coming up very soon. We've gone into Kansas City now. Our old stations like Jackson, Mississippi, and Grass Valley, California, over in Springfield, Missouri, Tucson, Arizona, Cheyenne, Wyoming, down in Shreveport, Louisiana, over in Frederick, Maryland, Houston, Texas, Tyler, Waco, Mount Vernon, up in Illinois, and even over in Owego, New York. Others as well. Thank you. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your encouraging letters to me. And it's my prayer that we'll continue this show and be a guiding light. That's what I want to do. I want to direct you to where there's a well-qualified pastor. I want you to see the need to sit under that well-qualified pastor so that you can study God's Word on a daily basis. You can learn, apply, and then glorify God. That's a little acronym, LAG, L-A-G. Learn it, apply it, and glorify God. And if you do that, remember Jesus our Lord said, happiness belongs to the people who hear my Father's word and keep it. So there's the must do and will do. You must hear God's word, and will you keep God's word? Will you obey it? That's where your volition comes in. Every one of us has a volition. We all have a chooser, a decider. Your chooser is listening to me right now. You could choose to push the button and go to another channel, and you may. But you have a volition. We are all victims of our volition. We are not a product of our environment. It's easy to say the reason I'm a loser is because I grew up in a bad environment. That's not true. A lot of people grew up in bad environments, and they're not losers. They oriented to God's plan. They learned God's plan. They adjusted to God's plan. And they have fantastic, fabulous lifestyles right now. Not that they're rich, not that they have a lot of money. That's not what I mean. I mean, they have tremendous peace. They have tremendous happiness. They have tremendous direction. They know what their life is about. They know where they serve, what they do. They are well-motivated people with an objective outlook on life. And then there's always the other side of the coin, and that's the people who live by their emotions. And that's never a good thing. As a matter of fact, you know, we've been studying the soul, and we've done several Bible lessons on the soul. By my notes, we've done five 30-minute shows dealing with your soul. So this should be number six. All these are available on our website if you want to listen, or we can send them to you on an MP3 disc if you desire. All you have to do is write to us, either P.O. Box 100 in Cropwell, Alabama, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or you can go to the internet and just look up Rick Hughes Ministries and email us from there. We'll get it. And let us know if you'd like to get these messages on a MP3 disc. We'll be glad to send them out to you. We have other material available also at free of charge, never a charge for anything we do. So let us know. Any of our books that we've written, we'll be glad to send to you. And that's all on the website. But back to your emotions. You know, we all have emotions. I do. I find myself crying sometime when I'm watching an emotional movie. I know I shouldn't, but sometimes tears will well up in my eye and something kind of get to me a little bit. And, you know, emotions, like the sin nature, you know, we have a sin nature too. We all have Adam's original sin imputed to us inside of us. See, remember this. You are a body and you are a soul. And if you are a Christian, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you also have a living spirit, your body, soul, and spirit. Now, if you're not a Christian, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, then you are not trichotomous. You don't have a body, soul, and a spirit. You're bichotomous. You just have a body and a soul. You can't have fellowship with God until you're born again. And that means that the spiritual birth must take place. This is what John chapter 3 was about when Nicodemus was a bit confused and asked Jesus, how can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? And our Lord Jesus Christ explained to him, it's a spiritual birth, not a physical birth. Being born again spiritually means you believe in Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior, and your dead human spirit is made alive. And this is how you have fellowship with God. And when you go to heaven, you're going to get a different body. You're going to get a resurrection body, a body that won't wear out, and your soul and your spirit will be housed in your resurrection body. But emotions, like the sin nature, reside inside that body. Emotions and the sin nature are part of Satan's world, and they will remain with your body until it rots in the ground. There's nothing wrong with emotions if you use them correctly. But the soul is not the seat of emotions. Your soul has mentality. Your soul has volition. Your soul has a consciousness and a self-consciousness. But the soul is not the seat of emotions. Emotions accompany the sin nature and should reinforce the danger to you of getting too emotional about something. Because when we're emotional, we don't think. Did you hear me? When we get emotional, we stop thinking. Therefore, the Bible very clearly teaches that when we allow emotions to control our thoughts, then we are allowing the sin nature to control our souls. Because sin is a symptom of rejecting God's truth. You know why? Because emotion is non-rational. You know, if you're a Christian and you get emotional, you can only retreat from reality. You don't advance ahead. You don't even know the reality of Bible doctrine. Only the rah, 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 rah of emotional religion. And there's a lot of that out there today. A lot of emotional religion. A lot of people making noise for Jesus. Make no mistake about it. Emotions are nothing but human viewpoint wrapped in feel-good paper and colorful ribbons and streamers, but they have no nutritional value and cannot, will not ever produce muscle on your soul. All they can do is drain the soul vitality that you have. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, stop thinking in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think. Thinking, mind, these are mentality things. You have intentions, you have desires, you have motives. And these are part of your thought process. And this is what God looks at. But when you get emotional in worship and in religion, that's not the way to God. That's the way to feel good, get high, and when you leave, you don't feel good anymore. If something goes bad, you don't feel good anymore. Listen, I get emotional sometimes at church. I do. If I hear something that's really good and I learn something, and I go, wow, that's amazing. I wish I had known that before. Well, that's cool. But to get emotional to where there's no thought, to where there's just swaying and singing and hands raised and nobody's thinking and we're all crying, we're all getting emotional, that's not the Christian life. You're not learning anything. God says the emotional believer is seasick. He's queasy from this lack of Bible doctrine in his soul. So we must learn God's word and pack it in our souls. Listen to the Bible. In order that we are no longer immature, that's seasick from lack of stability in Bible doctrine. Again, so that we are no longer immature, driven out of control by every wave of false doctrine. That's why I use the term seasick. It's like somebody who's seasick in a rough sea. In order that we are no longer immature, driven out of control by every wave of false doctrine, and blown here and blown there by every wind of false doctrine, coming from the trickery of men who in cunning craftiness carry out their deceitful plotting. But instead, the Apostle Paul says, by practicing the teaching of doctrine in association with virtue love, we can grow up in every way through the Word of God with respect to God the Father, who is absolute authority, and Jesus Christ his Son. A spiritual child, a young believer, regardless of his age, who's just beginning to learn God's Word, is like a ship on a high sea, destabilized with no rudder, totally incapable of intelligent action because he hasn't learned anything yet. He's operating on emotions. It took me a year or longer after I accepted Christ as my Savior before I oriented to a direction. I was on an emotional high. I had new friends, new inventory, new things to do, new places to go, and I made some silly decisions that were based on an emotional-driven volition. The original languages of the Bible, in the Word of God, talk about the basis for rational thought. And if you don't know God's Word, if you don't understand God's Word, you're shooting dice with the devil, and he's loaded the dice. And he is relying on you to have a momentary emotional high. Let's go over here to this camp, and let's get emotionally high for the weekend, and then when you come back, it won't sustain you. It won't carry you. So the higher you go in your emotions, the lower you fall when they let you down. And Ephesians 5:16, because of this, stop becoming non-thinkers, but continue to become spiritually intelligent about God's will. Of course, Satan wants you to rely on your emotions because, you know, thinking, that takes us away from Satan's plan. If you think, you're going to be thinking about God's plan. And way too often, Satan has his own evangelists, his own pastors, and they advise you to feel emotional, to let your emotions explode. You know, go ahead and cry, brother. Let's work up a good cry. Working up a good cry won't save you and won't lead you in the Christian life. I remember years ago in a meeting that I did before I learned very much doctrine, and a man wanted to rededicate his life to the Lord in the meeting in which I was speaking. And I told him to go ahead. He said, well, I've tried it before and it didn't work. And I said, well, do it again. He said, well, how do I do it? And I thought for a minute, and I said, this is exactly, how does this man rededicate his life? I said, well, pray about it. Get down on your knees and pray and say, I rededicate my life to the Lord. Said, done that. Didn't work. Give it all to God. I mean, what do you tell him? I didn't know enough doctrine to tell him anything except get emotional about it. And he was emotional. He was frustrated. He had tried to live the Christian life and had failed and failed and failed. He was a believer, but he kept going back to his sin. I didn't know how to explain to him the rebound process. I didn't know how to explain to him how to be filled with the Spirit. And I'm not the only one that didn't know. There's a lot out there today that still don't know. The original languages of the New Testament warn you about playing dice with the devil. Of course, he wants you to rely on your emotions. He doesn't want you to think. He wants you to follow your emotional feelings. And your sin nature will whittle you into listening to the emotions of your body and not thinking to the mentality of your soul. So look at it this way. You have a mind, okay? Your mind, M-I-N-D, and your emotions on the other side. Now, there's nothing wrong with emotions until you let them control you. In your emotions, you usually react to circumstances, and the Bible says in your mind you should respond to circumstances. So if you get bitter or angry or frustrated, it's always an emotional sin, and you always react in the emotional sin. But if you are filled with God's Holy Spirit, problem-solving devices number 1 and 2, then when you have a problem, you can respond by forgiving the individual, using impersonal love, problem-solving device number 8, and orienting and adjusting to God's plan. See the difference? Emotions do not orient and adjust to God's plan. Emotions do not respond. They react. That's why you have to be careful. Listen to Psalm 73. Yes, my soul was bitter, and I was punctured in my emotions. I was foolish and ignorant of doctrine, and I lacked insight. I was as senseless as a beast before you. Then verse 22, with your word in my soul you guide me, and afterwards you take me up to glory. When the writer of that psalm was ignorant of God's word, his emotions ruled his soul, and he behaved like any wild beast. Jude talks about the same thing, how teachers of false doctrine have beastly desires. But when a person recovers their spiritual equilibrium, in other words, we acknowledge our sin to God, we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we resume learning God's word, then God can lead us in the path of righteousness. Then God can guide us through the minefields of life and deliver us to unbelievable rewards in eternity. It's amazing. But if you depend on your emotions to guide you, precariously, you'll be sustained by the highs of a church that doesn't even teach the Word of God. And when the real pressure hits your life, you fall apart because you won't know how to handle it. And it's inevitable. Pressure is coming, and it will prove intolerable to you. Adversity is inevitable. Stress is optional. We say that all the time. Adversity is what circumstances do to you, and stress, that's what you do to yourself. So by learning the 10 problem-solving devices and putting them on the flat line of your soul, you can stop the outside sources of adversity way before they become the inside source of stress. At the onset of any emotion, I mean, if you get guilty, if you get angry, if you get hateful, if you get bored, just stop and confess that sin to God. And turn back immediately to God's Word. You have to make a conscious effort to put distance between your soul and emotions. See, you are a product of your decisions. You make the choices. God didn't make you into a little robot. So you have to choose, and He knows the desires of your heart. He knows the intentions of your heart. He knows what you're thinking and what you're feeling. And when you make a decision to turn away from your emotions, to say no to that burning desire of the flesh, to say no to the lure of the world, to say no to the false deceptions of satanic doctrine, when you say no, then God the Holy Spirit can sustain you and deliver you. But you have to make an effort. In Isaiah 43:25, I, Jesus Christ, even I, am the one who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. If our Lord Jesus Christ can forget your sins the moment you confess them to Him, then why, tell me this, why should you continue to feel guilty and go back and back and back? See, you got skeletons in the closet, something you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and now you think God's going to get you for that? Your emotions go wacky, something bad happens, and you think, oh, I knew God was going to get me, I knew it. That's not how God operates. Why should you continue to feel guilty or bitter about what you did if you went to God and admitted it and Jesus Christ forgave you? These emotions, this is what can destroy your soul. Don't settle for the cheap substitute of emotional religion. Never settle for that. Only settle for God's word in your soul. Listen, if you're going to a church where that's all they do, pump you up emotionally, give you a few tales, few tall tales, a few points, a few poems, if you can't walk out of there having learned something, I mean, do you take a Bible and a notebook to church? Do you actually write down notes and learn something and put it into your life? And do you actually go more than on Sunday morning? I mean, come on, if that's all you're getting Sunday morning, a first grader would never get out of the first grade if they only went once a week. And you go to church once a week and you think that's enough? You're not learning. You're not growing. You must get under a pastor that'll teach you something. And sometimes you may have to do it like me. You may have to study at home. And so every night I've got the computer playing and I've got a Bible study DVD going and I'm listening to my pastor teach me God's word. I couldn't do what I do with you if I didn't do that. I have to be fed, I have to learn, and I have to apply just like you. So let's do not settle for anything less than God's word being taught to us. And listen to this, Isaiah 46, verse 8. This is a word to spiritual believers. Here's what it says, reflect on this doctrine and become confident in your thinking. And then a word to those that are carnal, who live by their emotions. Come back to your senses. In other words, let thought control you instead of your emotions. Come back to your senses and to right thinking in terms of doctrine or God's word. Those of you who operate in opposition to righteous authority. Jeremiah, for example, was an Old Testament prophet of God, and it was a time of great apostasy in Judah when he prophesied, and he wrote several things that describe the believer perfectly between the one who lives his life as unto the thinking of the Lord and the one who lives his life unto emotions. Mental attitude sins related to emotions even caused Jeremiah to blame God for the misery that he was facing, when in fact, Jeremiah actually caused his own misery because of the sins of emotion. And instead of using God's recovery procedure, 1 John 1:9, Psalm 32, 4 and 5, instead of doing that, he took responsibility for his self-pity, and he didn't take responsibility for his self-pity, I mean to say, and he wound up blaming God. So listen as I read it to you. Listen. Lamentations 3, 11 through 19. He, God, has dragged me from the path and pulled me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He has drawn his bow and set me as a target for his arrows. He has shot his arrows into my emotions. I was a laughingstock to all of my people and the subject of mockery all day long. So God filled me with bitterness, and he has made me drunk with venom. He has broken my teeth with gravel stones, and he's made me cower in ashes. And my soul has been deprived of prosperity. I forgot what happiness is. And so I said, my strength and my hope has perished. I have lost all hope of deliverance from the Lord. Just thinking about my affliction and my homeless condition is bitterness and venom in my soul. When I continually think about this, I become emotionally depressed. That's all found in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. Verses 11 through 19. This is what happens when you let your emotions get out of control, because emotions can make you stupid. Jeremiah blamed God. God is the author of happiness. He blamed God for his unhappiness that he brought on himself. I mean, not only is this blasphemy, but it's utterly and totally stupid and arrogant and a waste of time. Jeremiah allowed his emotions to take over. Jeremiah lost his capacity for happiness, and instead of joyfully acknowledging God's blessing and giving thanks for whatever circumstances he was in, he became an expert on self-induced misery. How about you? Are you an expert on that? Are you full of self-pity? Do you have self-induced misery? Now listen to the change. Once he finally remembered to abandon his self-pity, once he finally got out of this arrogant emotional ride he was on, and he took responsibility for his sins, listen to what he said. This I recall to mind, and therefore I have hope. The Lord's many kindnesses never cease, because his great compassions never come to an end. They are renewed every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Surely my soul remembers and is humble within me. This I recall to mind, and I have hope. The Lord is my portion of my inheritance, says my soul. I will put my hope in him. The Lord is good to those who trust in him and to the souls who seek him. It is good, therefore, to wait silently and patiently for the deliverance of the Lord. Wait silently and patiently for the deliverance of the Lord. See, you can choose to be happy, or you can choose to be unhappy. What a difference. If the sin nature and the emotions are controlling your soul, it's all gloom and doom, wreck, afraid, bitter, miserable. But if the Holy Spirit controls your soul, then you have happiness. Same circumstances. But the confidence is in God. It's transferred from trust in yourself to trust in God. Doesn't that make sense? It does to me. Why don't you trust the one who gave you your life? If he gave his life for you, is there anything beyond his power that he won't do for you? When Jeremiah finally woke up to this, it's amazing, but his soul began to sing out with confidence. And now he remembers to trust in the Lord. And he discovered what you need to rediscover: the unfailing love of God. God did not fail him. He failed God. How about you? Have you failed God? Have you blamed God for your misery? Have you turned inward to self-pity and bitter emotions? It's time you went before the Lord and confessed your sin. And it's time you began to let the Holy Spirit control your life instead of letting your sin nature and your emotions run rampant. Until you do that, you're never going to be the person God wants you to be. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.